Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Revelation 18, verse 7. We were in the midst of that analysis last time. All right, once again, this is your opportunity as a believer to get your mental attitude in the right place. Rebound and focus on the information presented. And keep your emotions and STA out of the picture during the communication of the information. This is the environment that God has established. And there's no substitute for it. The matriculation of positive volition, assembly, intake of doctrine, and then go out there and apply it and come back. That's the routine until God calls you home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we have assembled ourselves together to receive the spiritual food that we need so that we can navigate our way through the evil that is all around us in all of its forms. Deliver us from evil and continue to shine the truth in our path so that we can walk in a way that glorifies you in the midst of the present darkness. In Christ's name, amen. All right, chapter 18, of course, is dealing with economic, political, whatever you want to call it, nationalism, the super power that has come into play in this dispensation, centuries into it, obviously, and it has developed, it will develop and is developing into this entity that God is going to bring unprecedented judgment upon it. Us, this country. Of course, we won't be here, we believers. God has taken down other nations. There's a statement in a psalm that he has made certain nations extinct for their crimes. Can you think of one? How about those civilizations in South America? Mayan. Those types. With their human sacrifice. They were very advanced in technological stuff for their time. But as far as the other is concerned, their religion was an absolute travesty with child sacrifice. What civilization sacrifices their own children to a bloody deity? The Carthaginians did it, and even the Romans didn't go for that. One of the senators, I forgot his name, he's famous, in the Roman Senate, no matter whenever he would speak on a topic relative to governance, he would always end it and say, "And Carthage needs to be destroyed." Just right off the cuff, they finally did it. So civilizations come and civilizations go. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. But this one is, in its own right, unprecedented. When you stack up all the data. This chapter starts off with the record of an angel illuminating with his glory the entire earth and making an announcement. Right, this will come right after the rapture, when people are still spinning, trying to sort this one out. Again, as I've always said, you've got the Bible right there in front of you. That'll confirm it, and then they'll get to see this very angel and his announcement, announcing while it hasn't happened yet, he can still say it with such certainty. He can say, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." And he says, "It is a habitation of all kinds of unclean spirits and dirty birds, humans." And then he announces that all the nations have been contaminated in one degree or another with America. We always like to think that, oh no, we've benefited all these nations. No, it's contamination. Can you imagine teaching this to a bunch of fundamentalists today? Some of you apparently don't like it that much, because you were nurtured on rah, 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 rah. Let's go kill the commies or whatever. And that we're this great light and beacon to the world. We had the potential, but we've dropped the ball because certain individuals have gained power behind the scenes, sometimes referred to as the deep state. But it's more involved than just that. It involves certain people getting their hooks in financially, ideologically, and beginning to control the institutions of the United States to spread their propaganda. They had to get control of the educational system. They couldn't be independent and free. They had to get control of other things as well. Of course, banking, the money supply, things they should have never got control over. They should have had a regulatory thing to prevent any individual from having undue influence over the quest for truth with regard to any field. Now, we wouldn't have this junk today that we see every day. We wouldn't have this false cosmology. It would have been blown all to hell by individuals who would stand up to it. But we didn't do that, did we? No. We fall in line with all of it. When you add it all up, you have what we have in verse 3, and this illicit relationship between the rulers of the earth committing immorality with her. This immorality is of a political and monetary nature. And the merchants of the earth have gained wealth through her. Now, we're putting ourselves ahead. We're in the tribulation. And John hears another voice. And this is the voice of God. The voice of God over the world, speaking so every ear can hear. And that starts in verse 4, the command to exit the United States, my people, believers, because there will be a whole bunch of people who will jump on board of the salvation adjustment in the United States. This is confined to the United States. This isn't dealing with the world. You can't come out of the world. So this is coming out of the territory of the United States. And it said, my people, I'm giving you a way away from this. And they are to exit the United States so that you do not participate in her sins. What's that mean? All right, the sins of America have built through the time from her birth to the present. We got on this path, and so Those are these sins. It's like an individual who is involved in various kinds of evil and finally catches up with them. Okay, you had your fun. You had your enjoyment. You got your way. But to fully participate in these sins, you've got to deal with the judgment that comes at the end of the rope. That's participate. So for the final generation of Americans, the rapture generation of Americans, for believers to sidestep that final participation, the judgment factor, they must exit the USA. Get out of here. And what I've studied in the prophets, like Jeremiah, there's going to be a significant number of people that boil out of here. I mean, can you imagine having to process the rapture as an just average individual? Empty graves. This person was transformed in front of you and taken right up through the roof and made to be age 35, regardless of what their age was. Can you imagine seeing that? Over and over and over and over. And trash the cemeteries where this is graves of believer and this one isn't. I've stood and said, the pattern of our resurrection is the same pattern that Christ's resurrection. God could have took him out of the tomb and not removed the big stone. But he had to do it to have evidence that this was real. And the disposition of the grave clothes. These are important little details. And that witnesses were there. And there's no other way around it to explain it. The disciples didn't overcome a contingent of Roman soldiers. And even if they did, they would have known it and steal the body of Jesus. They were in no psychological mindset to fake a resurrection. They were all cowering in the upper room. They were all up there. Sad. They were in a no man's land up here in their head. And so here they are, they're all congregated up there in the upper room. Until two women who went to the grave to finish preparing the body of Jesus, because they had to do it hurriedly, went there and found the empty tomb. Not only that, they talked to a man they thought was the gardener. It was Jesus. And one of them fell down and grabbed him around the ankles. And the women went running back there and told the disciples. They didn't want to even believe them. But Peter and John ran out to the tomb to see for themselves. And the impressive thing for John was the disposition of the grave clothes. You're going to steal a body. You probably aren't even going to leave the grave clothes there. And if they were removed, they'd be scattered all over. This wrappings. But they were laying there just as if the body was taken out of it without disturbing what he was wrapped in. And the headpiece was over here where it should be, laying there perfectly, like a hat. And it said John looked at it and he believed. It was a moment that he exercised faith, because all Jesus had taught that on the third day, blah, blah, blah. What don't you understand about this? Why are believers this way? Because they want other things. That's why. They want him to set up a kingdom now. And there's no cross, there's no kingdom. There's no subjects for it, no human subjects. There has to be the cross and what occurred on it. And yet he taught this. When he taught it, it made him feel bad. I'm going to be taken and blah, blah, blah. And on the third day, raised up. Now, can you follow that? This is elementary. This is very basic. Well, they all came around, obviously, and became very dynamic in their presentation of the gospel. But during this period, they were on shaky ground. They fulfilled a verse that all his close associates, at the end, from the time of his arrest forward, basically, all of his close associates abandoned him. They cut and run. He didn't even have the moral support of those that he had called and made as his disciples and the rest of them. I don't know if there was one person that had absolute confidence that, look, I'm going to take what he says literally. What do you not understand about being arrested, crucified, dying, and raised up on the third day? What don't you understand about that? Is that difficult? Just because it's never happened in history before, that doesn't mean anything. I've had the same experience over the years with regard to believers. It is cut and dried, straightforward. I try to make it as clear as I can. It's fine to have a question about some detail. But the overall doctrine stands on its own feet. I just point you to the scripture. And that's what we're doing here. For those of you out there in cyberland, the United States is in prophecy. You don't like it because you don't like the end. People tell me the fundamentalists are clinging to the fact that maybe they know this country's got a bunch of problems, a lot of corruption. They know it. But they think somehow if we pray hard enough, it's going to come around. I've even had believers around here say, I'm going to pray that we'll get our Christian heritage restored. Well, knock yourself out. You can witness one-on-one, but this isn't going to happen. Babylon will not be healed. We tried to heal Babylon, but Babylon wouldn't be healed. Who are we, and who is Wednesday after the rapture? There are going to be voices calling the American population to renounce their evil and turn to God like the ancient Assyrians did. The Assyrians did it from their top leaders all the way down. The man in the street. It was a mass conversion and turning away from the particular evil that characterized Assyrian civilization. Cruelty. One word will do it. Cruelty. They were a cruel and advanced race. What is the one word that characterizes American civilization? Not that everybody out there is guilty of it, but what is the one thing? Materialistic greed. Monetary, if you want to call it that. You can observe it for yourself. The fanaticism of Americans with regard to entertainment of various kinds, shopping, travel, food, acquisition of things, going nuts on holidays, even the 4th of July, spending thousands on fireworks. Well, that really impresses God. Somebody told me they went to one of these barbecues and they did fireworks. And these are adults, all chanting, USA, USA, USA. And this person pointed out subtly that the country's going down. They don't want to hear it. It's acid in their ears. And a lot of them are Christians, as I said. The truth slaps people right in the face. Don't make it too late for yourself, like so many have. Hang on to it right to the end. Jeremiah didn't like God revealed to him the fall of his own nation. The initial reception of it was its truth, and I like it. But he processed it. It's like he uses the analogy. It's like eating something that really stimulates your taste buds. But then you have a gastric reaction to it that's not good. He didn't like the fact that his nation was going down, but he had a message. He got persecuted for it. Tell us words of peace. Tell us this. Tell us that. It's in Jeremiah. He couldn't do it. I got to tell you the truth. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to take the nation down and they're going to destroy that beautiful temple. They're going to take it out and take a bunch of you into captivity. But it'll be restored and Israel will continue. You can't say this for the United States. We're not going to be given a second chance. A U.S. of A of sorts in the millennium. So the other voice from heaven tells believers to get out. They don't have to participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. And then uses the figurative idea of a tower being built out of invisible tower, built out of sins. And when it reaches a certain level, God puts the hammer down. And he'll put the hammer down about 2+ years into the trip. So this is a good advance. People will have ample time to exit the country and relocate, as believers are always supposed to do. That you're out there listening. There's a geographical will for your life. And it may not always be convenient and fun. Further instructions. Now, Revelation 18, and dealing with the U.S. and prophecy, is completely silent with regard to the who God uses to destroy America. You couldn't tell it from here. Who's going to do this? Okay, it isn't God doing it directly. It's God using an agent, a military agent that has the technological wherewithal, the weaponry that can pull this off. A nation he has allowed to develop this advanced technology. He's going to have them do it. So the voice out of heaven addresses here in verse 7. Verse 6. Who is God speaking to? You got to keep the context here. We went from the angel now to God speaking this extended passage. I mean, it's amazing that this whole thing, if someone had the book of Revelation open at the time, they could just read right along. And of course, it's going to come to people in their languages, but it's primarily designed and directed towards the American population, minus the rapture crowd that have just recently been pulled out of here, the ones that are left behind. So, pay her back in verse 6. Who is he talking to? the enemy that God's going to use. And you have to go to the Old Testament to figure out who that is. Now, verse 7, to the degree, and he continues to speak here, God speaking from heaven. I don't know if this ever registered with me like it did this time. That God makes this extended speech. It's actually a quotation of Revelation 18, starting with verse 4. This is amazing. All right. In verse 7, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to that same degree give her torment and mourning. Match it up. To the degree that she has thrown herself into this fanatic pursuit of the materialistic and sensual world of stimulation, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, here's another prominent factor in the American mentality, arrogance. I sit as a queen, I'm not a widow, and will never see mourning. Really? Is that the consensus, if you boiled it all down, of Americans the past, coming up till now, currently, that we are indestructible? There's only one nation that can say that, really. That's that little nation in the Middle East called Israel. It can be kicked out of the land, come back to the land, kicked out of the land, blah, 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 but they're going to survive. The president before Trump made the announcement that America was the indispensable nation. I remember that. Indispensable, huh? Just humanity cannot survive without us. Guess what? Humanity came all the way through all these centuries until we even became a nation. And we are not the savior of the human race. All right, I stopped around point 19. Point 18, we notice here we see the principle of matching the punishment with the crime. Interestingly, the guilt will have taken many decades, but the punishment will run its course in a matter of days or weeks. That is, until the last American that's living here perishes. No one will be holed up somewhere and say, oh, I'm a survivor. It won't happen. 100%. All those that will die in cities hit by nuclear weapons and die outright, and then all those out in the environs, even if they run up and hide their mountain hideout, the torment and mourning will be experienced only by those who are alive and remain when the nuclear assault emanating from Russia begins. 21, these Americans, minus those who either died or were raptured or who migrate back to their homelands, will suffer temporarily for sins of their fathers, as well as their own sins. Her internal boast is a modification of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah has some prophecies dealing with the United States, as I pointed out. In Christian circles, and I was in a doctrinal Christian circle when I got on doctrine, there is a lot of neglect of the Old Testament prophets. Neglect. Oh, who wants to study that? Verse 8. Now then, hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am and there's no one beside me. America, number one, number one, number one. I will not sit as a widow, nor loss of children, read citizens. But these things will come on you suddenly in one day, one 24-hour day. Loss of children and widowhood. They will come on you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries. Sorceries were used in the ancient world in the political realm. You can run your diplomats out there. You can go on a peace mission. You can try to talk this down. Get your Department of State and all the rest of it run around. There will probably be something to try to prevent this from happening. That's the rider on the white horse. His final foray. In spite of the great power of your spells, you who felt secure in your wickedness and said, "No one sees me." Your wisdom and your knowledge, they've deluded you. For you have said in your heart, "I am, and there's no one besides me. I'm in a class by myself." I think I've seen that mentality with regard to America. It's one thing to appreciate and love your country. It's another thing to take it down this road. It ought to have led people to be humble, not arrogant and boastful. I sit as a queen speaks to Americans' privileged status. There's nothing wrong with being a queen as long as pride does not rule the soul and self-indulgence and self-absorption is the result. Such overweening presumption draws the wrath of heaven on this queen's head. America's boast of security further demonstrates her disorientation to God and the lessons of history. The words, "and am not a widow," refer to the fact that America has remained safe from foreign conquest. She has not experienced the devastation that has regularly come upon other nations. Oh, we had our Civil War. We fought the British in two wars. America's military and political planners seek to control everything so as to be safe. Weather, space, cyberspace, energy, you name it. So the widow part has to do with the loss of military protection, even as a husband protects a wife. That's how I take that. Okay? The military, it kind of struck me. The military that we have trusted in and given us victories, etc., etc., it's going to be of no... We're not even going to be able to retaliate. We're going to be caught so flat-footed because God, Christ is in control of history, not man. And this thing is going to be set up where all of our weaponry is going to be... And I don't know how it's going to work. I couldn't... It's going to be neutralized. Whether it's a sub out in the ocean... or missiles stationed wherever, intercontinental ballistic. Somehow, that's going to be frustrated. There's other verses on this in the prophets. You might read Jeremiah 50 and 51, Isaiah 47 and 13. And will not see sorrow refers specifically to the sorrow associated with widowhood, military and able to protect the nation, and loss of citizens, children. But, excuse me, these two things will come on America in 1 hour of one day. There is no form of ancient warfare that could have done this. Even coming down through the centuries all the way to the birth of America, even with the weapons that we had in World War II. And of course, Russia was in no position to do this. They were involved in a revolution. And then because of American activity, that revolution was shut down. The Soviet aspect, that was shut down, overthrown. You know, the Berlin Wall and all that business. So these two things will come upon the United States in 1 hour, one day, according to Isaiah 47:9, Revelation 18:10, 17, and 19. It repeats it. So as we've seen in our study of the book of Revelation, another thing that means the rapture couldn't occur back, pick a date, and you don't have to go that far back, is the technology wasn't in place. That's something that eludes a lot of people, but hindsight's good, but we have to have the technology to make sense out of some things. The whole world sees the two prophets laying on the beheaded prophets laying on the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. And then there's the mark of the beast. And there's other things. So technology and weaponry, not God out of heaven. God out of heaven can wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did it in 1 hour or one day. That was supernatural. So another factor that had to be and come into play that is sometimes not mentioned is that the technology has to be in place to make sense out of some of these verses. How can the whole world see? Technology. It has advanced in the very few years recently. Since 2010 or whatever, pick a date, I don't know. Oh, even beyond that. You know? Just 2020, the technology is mushroomed. And they're working on it out there all over the place. Now, we have advantages today because people can share what they got figured out with someone on another country and pool all this. So this is often unspoken sentiment that this country is secure from external conquest, as seen in the emphatic negative of and will never see mourning. The type of mourning here envisaged is the mourning associated with the loss of nationhood. I've seen it all go down the drain. Let's take our break.